When I look at where I'm coming from, I know I'm blessed, and I close my eyes and smile. Sometimes I feel like the richest man in Babylon, and I've done my best, so everything's all right.
Welcome to series 2 of the Animus podcast. Today we're going to be talking with Liv Yao. We're going to be exploring her shift from full-time employment to setting up her very own coaching practice. She's also going to be sharing with us the importance of the community that surrounds you, how that can help you to grow and expand in the work that you do. So Liv, it's great to have you here today at the Animus podcast. So you're sort of known for having quit your day job and gone full on with your coaching. And I'm just like, so what's happening for you right now with all of that?
Yeah, it's a really exciting time at the moment, big transition period. I've never not had that kind of secure, comfortable day job before, so it's definitely been a big leap. I am in the process, well, the setting up my coaching practice, it's still in the early stages, so there's a lot of planting seeds happening, a lot of conversations, a lot of potential collaborations coming up next year. So a really exciting time. On the side, I'm still doing a bit of my fitness work as well, as I'm also APT.
So, okay, so how does the fitness work, how does that fit into your coaching?
Well, this is really interesting because how I thought I would leave the day job would be to go into fitness full time. And I qualified as a PT early last year, early 2016. And I very quickly realized there was something missing for me. And what I didn't realize, which I then discovered, was that I actually had a bit of an addiction to fitness, to the point where I was working out twice a day, getting myself injured because I was doing so much, and not really, like, kind of thinking that was normal. And then I kind of started on my personal development journey and my coaching journey as a coachee, and I quickly realized that at the root of all that fitness addiction was something a lot deeper that I hadn't dealt with. And once that was dealt with, it was almost like, oh, like that drive to work out all the time had just disappeared. And so something clicked at that point, and it was like, right, okay, I understand it's not just a physical thing now, it's also, it's more of a holistic, you know, mental and emotional well-being and lifestyle choices, not just physical fitness.
Okay, so without getting too personal, I'm just curious about what's that thing that you had to sort of shift in order to recognize that it wasn't just about keeping fit?
I'm actually really happy to get personal on this one because I think our stories are really important, and I think it can be a contribution for other people who are wanting to kind of get their stories out there but are kind of a bit too scared to do so. So I grew up in an environment of, actually grew up in a corporal punishment environment. And also the culture that I grew up in was very much, you know, girls aren't really seen or heard. It was all about competing against the boys. So I felt the need to kind of always be the best and always, you know, push to be better than everyone else. And I think that drive I took into everything I did. So, yeah, that was kind of the root cause of it all. That not feeling good enough story that I think a lot of us have.
Okay.
So that was the root of it.
So, a little bit before you said this thing of that, you know, you've always had that security, and now that security's gone. And I recognise a lot of coaches that have a full-time job and are thinking about becoming coaches or setting up their own business will have that sort of question around, so what's that like to give up that security and go for your dream, as it were?
Oh, it's amazing. I honestly thought... I mean, I think before I gave it up, probably a month left of my notice period, because I had quite a long notice period, I had a mild anxiety attack when I got my final paycheck. And I was like, oh no, this is like, you know, this is it. And it's funny, like within a week, I was just like, oh my gosh, this was like the best thing I ever did. Like, don't get me wrong, I absolutely loved my job. I worked for a really cool agency with amazing people. It was really fun. And I got to just walk in, wear trainers every day, like unless there was a client meeting. But it was a really great environment and I really did enjoy it. It just wasn't fulfilling on the deeper level for me. And once I realized what it is I really wanted to do, it just, you know that quote about how you're pushed by your pain until you're pulled by your vision? It was something along those lines. Okay. And it made it very difficult to stay doing something that just wasn't giving me anything anymore. Mm. So, yeah.
So what, I suppose there's a question here about what are the downsides of, because it's great to kind of follow our passion and follow our vision, but what are the downsides of, if there are any, of giving up that job?
Definitely a routine and a structure to hold you to account. That's the biggest one, I think, that probably a lot of other entrepreneurs will know. I've always been somebody who probably really appreciated my freedom, but I didn't realize how much that structure kind of held it all together. Mm. And so that's why I really am interested in coaching around career transition, because I actually know what you have to deal with now in terms of the support that you need around you and, you know, really what it takes to keep yourself accountable, which has been fun. And also, on top of that, being patient, being very, very patient.
So before we talk about what you're doing right now, just that notion of having to work that out for yourself, what's your structure now then? So having gone from the structure of work then into no structure, how have you created that structure for yourself?
Yeah. Well, I take Mondays off now. Mondays are like my lion day. and it was a bit of trial and error, actually, for the first few weeks. And I found myself, this is really funny, I actually found myself taking lots of afternoon naps and just doing midday workouts. So what I've done now is I've realized, right, I don't need to have a really kind of fixed structure. You know, like you read books about entrepreneurs who get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and they start their days a certain way and they have a routine. I realized very quickly that that just didn't work for me. And I've always been a bit more of a night owl, and I finally accepted that I'm not really that interested in changing that. So I do a lot of the things I need to do in terms of meetings during the day now. I do my workouts, I do all the things I need to do fitness-wise during the day as well. And I do a lot of my coaching more in the evenings, because that's when I'm a bit more like switched on and focused and present. So that's something that took a bit of trial and error. I think I've finally got there, with maybe a few little tweaks.
Okay, so what are you, so when you think about now, your business right now, I think you said you're about to launch your website, or that's about to go.
It is.
So sort of what's happening now with you?
What's happening now? Well, I'm actually quite passionate about leadership, so I'm actually doing a leadership program right now, which is really...
As in being trained?
Being trained, yes. So that's happening. I am just finishing up my case study for my diploma, which is fun. It's actually been really good to reflect back to some of my earlier clients.
Okay.
And the journey that they went on and kind of my journey alongside that. So that's been really, really great. And I am doing my fitness work still. I've got about 5-6 classes a week at Orange Theory, so just down the road from here. So those are the main things.
So you've got your leadership training, your fitness work that you do, you're finishing off your bits of paperwork for your diploma here with us at Animus. Yeah. Where does that take you? So what's your sort of next step or your vision with all of that?
Yeah, so it's really about launching more of a global brand eventually, and really having coaching, combining all my different passions into my coaching brand and my coaching business. So that encompasses the mind, the body, the lifestyle piece. But also one thing I'm really passionate about is communities and conservation work. I have a big passion for African wildlife, and I had a thought last year and I was thinking, what is it that, if I could have my dream job, what would that actually be? You know, I'd probably be spending a lot more time out in Africa, in the wild, surrounded by animals. And how can I make that as an income? And then when I had the fitness piece, I was like, okay, retreats. Retreats make sense. And then when I added the coaching piece, I was like, yes, this could work. And then also local communities. You know, I don't want to be the kind of business that just has really expensive luxury retreats, goes into like an African country and right, we're going to go help all the orphans now. Like, it's not that kind of business. I want it to be a sustainable model that really helps to build communities up. And actually, young entrepreneurs is something that I think the business will move into at some point in the future. In developing countries.
Yeah. So you've got lots of pieces kind of coming together yeah. there. So, you know, as you were saying that, it reminded me of one of the other Animus students who now works, I think it's in Kenya, Olivia Munro, who does, I think it's called Coaching Safari or Lifestyle Safari, yeah. where she takes groups of people and they stay with the villagers, experience life, whilst doing their coaching in the evenings and doing group coaching sessions yeah. and kind of sharing yeah. best practice. So that sort of sounds like something similar yeah. happening there.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely will need to speak to her at some point, pick her brains. I think something I'm envisioning more of is a business that, I'm thinking more luxury safari lines, but how I see that impacting local communities is kind of having, you know, being able to charge for that and then be able to direct some of those funds into building up local communities, as well as going into experience it firsthand. I think eventually, you know, having a fund would be incredible one day. Yeah.
So, I come along, I'm interested in coaching. Yeah. I find your new website, and I go, okay, I want to work with you. What's the experience that I'd get from working with you?
I think the big one is accountability. I do very much demand 100% commitment from anyone that I do work with, and I know that, you know, you're not only going to get the results unless you show up fully. So everything I do, I think, reflects that. And it's really funny, something that I seem to have a lot of people come to me for is accountability. You know, I speak to other coaches and they get a lot of people who are kind of more after the relationship side of things and are dealing with more of those issues. You know, some coaches were like, yeah, you know, I had clients, they spent a few sessions crying. I was like, I've never had a crying client before. I was like, that's odd. Like, I wonder what it is that attracts different people to different coaches. And I find that really fascinating.
Yeah. So I suppose that, you know, I recognize that what we put out is part of what we attract. So, you know, it just makes me curious about your sort of your fitness stuff and the notion that, you know, getting fit is not something you can kind of do. It's something you do or you don't.
Yeah.
So perhaps there's something in that way of working, your sort of personal philosophy, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm all about action. All about action. Taking actions, getting out of your comfort zone. I can definitely be confrontational in my approach. I mean, without, you know, not the kind of confrontation where it's like a full argument, but I do challenge people a lot and to push outside those boundaries.
So that's really interesting, because a lot of people can have this notion that coaching can be quite soft, and that people that don't understand or haven't experienced it don't, or can have a sense that, you know, I go to this person and we chat and maybe I talk about my goals. And so tell me about challenging, because that's not something that often comes up.
Yeah, I mean, I am very flexible. So I think one thing that I am quite good at is really reading people and reading clients. And I kind of have somehow managed to find the balance with certain people. Some people can be pushed a little bit more than others. And I think I'm quite sensitive towards that. At the same time, I will call you up if I think, you know, you're making excuses. Like, you know, without swearing. You're not going to get away with very much. And I think people probably see that in me and in how I conduct myself. And that is perhaps what, you know, what they're looking for.
So that bit where, you know, you're calling people out on their stuff and you're not allowing them to make the excuses.
Playing small is what I call it.
You don't allow them to play small.
I don't allow them to play small.
And it's really interesting because, you know, earlier you said about that idea that for you there was a, you know, being better than the boys and driving and striving and pushing. So how do you manage or check in to know that you're doing that from, I don't know what the word is, I'm not sure what the right place is, but not a place that's purely about drive. Mm.
Yeah, see, that's really interesting, and that's something I'm currently discovering about myself through some of my current personal development work on myself. And something that I'm finding with the leadership side of things is actually being a real leader is having everyone else win around you. So you win by default. But this is something it's not familiar to me because it's not how, you know, I grew up. And so I'm really learning to kind of take a step back now and really push everyone else up around me. And that is just a whole another level of fulfillment, I think. So I'm learning a bit more calm and patience, for sure, on a personal level. And I think it will definitely be benefiting how I show up in my coaching and with my clients.
Brilliant. So, you know, it's great to hear that you're continuing your learning journey, because I recognise that some people sort of, they'll think that you learn it and then that's it, you've done it. Yeah. But what I can hear here is that you're really sort of looking at how can I continue to develop and grow and understand myself as well as learn skills to work with my clientele.
Yeah, exactly. I don't believe I can be authentic as a coach, and I don't feel like there's any integrity for myself as a coach, at least, unless I'm pushing myself as much as I can. I don't demand anything of my clients that I wouldn't put myself through. So, you know, I think, and that's another thing with leadership, like you've got to be the one to go first. And I think when people see that, that's when they get inspired and they're like, you know what, I can do this too.
Sounds amazing. You were saying there about, you know, making sure that everybody around you is winning, and that sort of made me think about how winning communities are so important. So how do you build that community around yourself that's a winning community?
One, I think there are two things. I think one is being quite intentional about who you choose to spend your time with. And the other thing is, I feel like attracts like. So what's been really interesting over the last year is that different people have been gravitating towards me, and a lot of other people have been gravitating out. So there's a lot more positive energy around me now, and a lot more support and belief. One thing a coach reflected back to me earlier this year was, you know, you can do this. You don't need to learn any more courses. You don't need any more skills. He said, you know, you don't need another program. He said, you just need to get out there and do it. He said, the only thing holding you back right now is yourself, and you don't trust yourself.
So how do you get that trust for yourself to do that?
Getting out there. And the thing is, it's action. It's all in action. The more you take action and the more results you see as a result of those actions, the more confidence you build in yourself and the more you start to trust yourself.
Okay.
So I think it's a process. And also having people around you that really believe you and are always, you know, cheering you on from the sidelines and really going, yes, you can do it. That's really been helpful.
So that notion there of, you know, there are people that stay, there are people that move on. So how did you sort of not get rid of, but, you know, were there people that you had to choose not to spend time with? Because you spoke about that intentionality of, you know, positivity and I'm going to say all of that again because I've got caught up in my own tongue there. So you spoke about intentionality of who you spend your time with and who you spend your energy with and like attracting like. So were there people that you had to sort of push away or let go of?
I don't think... So this was something I actually got coached around, because there was a lot of guilt around that for a while. I just felt like a very bad friend to a few people. And, you know, this was actually, it got resolved in communication with them. And it was like, look, you know our lives are kind of moving in different directions, but I still love you. And it's really kind of letting people go with a lot of love, but actually not necessarily letting them go, as in you're never going to see them again. I think it's just a fact of life. I think you start to move in different directions from some people. It's like after uni, when some people get jobs and other people settle down, I think naturally your circles change. But I think the intentionality comes when you choose the people that you really do want to spend time with, as in the people who really inspire you and the ones that really get you excited about what you're doing. Those are the people that you really want around you.
Okay. So when you were saying that about, you know, the people that you want around you and the people that excite you, made me think about the Animus community and your journey as Animus student. So what were your highlights as a student? I don't know if there are highlights, but what was your journey like as an Animus student?
Oh, it was so much fun. Honestly, I chose Animus because of the community, purely because of the community element, not because of the qualification, not because of the modules. It was really the people.
But they're important too, right?
They are really important. They are really important, obviously. and I loved, I mean, my favourite module was actually the presence module.
Okay.
That was amazing.
So what was it about that presence module that was so amazing for you?
I think just being with people and not in my head. I think I naturally do that when I'm coaching, but the exercises we did that weekend were really, really powerful. And I think it shifted. I think that was a kind of milestone in my coaching, in the way I coached. That changed. I got to be okay with silence, I think, for the first time. One of the things I discovered through my own coaching journey is that as a child, it was almost about not having a voice and hiding a lot. And so I think part of that was always feeling the need to fill space. So whenever there was silence, I just had to talk a lot. I'm one of those people that send essay long text messages. And that presence module really got me in the space of, wow, you know, it's okay to be silent. And not feel uncomfortable in that silence.
Yeah, because I suppose there's a different quality to that silence.
Yeah.
It's not a not being heard, but a space that where something can emerge into, as opposed to a space that we fill.
Yeah. One thing that was really interesting that came up on a personal level on that module as well was when we were doing that exercise with the headphones and the music, when I wasn't being heard, like, I actually felt quite comfortable there, and I was just like, wow. You know, that was quite an insight for myself. You know, I've gotten so comfortable with that because it's been my story for so long. It was like, wow, like I really just don't expect to be listened to. And that was something for me to go away and look at with my own coach. So it was so great on so many levels for my clients, but also on a very personal level as well.
Yeah, I think there's something really lovely about having a learning experience that that where you are the learner about yourself, but also that gives you tools to work with your clients.
Yeah. And the work is never done. It's never done. Mm. It's like unpeeling layers of an onion.
Nice. An endless onion.
It's an endless onion, yeah. But that's what makes the whole journey fun. I mean, that's what makes life fun. I think if you were ever there, then, you know, things would get boring.
you spoke about the Animus community and sort of thinking about all the sort of the expansion of what you're doing and that the kind of the global work that you're exploring here. Just curious about, are you doing any collaborations with members of the community around that?
Actually, that's really funny you say that. I am speaking to one of the girls at the moment, and we are putting together an event next February, and it's really about exploring masculine and feminine energies. So whether that's within a relationship scenario, for me, it relates to obviously kind of wanting. I had a lot of masculine energy growing up because it was all about that drive and about competing against the boys. So that's something I'll probably speak a bit more about. And we've got some guys, some amazing guys. Actually, one of the guys from the community is going to be speaking as well. And he's going to be focusing more on male vulnerability. So it's going to be a really beautiful event. I'm really excited about. We have to still figure out all the details. but yeah, that's something that we have spoken about. And yeah, I'm in contact with so many members of the community, and everyone's up to such amazing things. And you know, it's really nice that we can all support each other in these journeys, because, as you said, not everyone in our lives, you know, understand. Mm. And it's really great to have that support and that structure, I guess. There.
Awesome stuff. That's brilliant. It's been so lovely talking with you today. So just for people listening, where can we find you? How do we get hold of you? Your website or your Twitter? Yeah. Or where's that?
Yeah, so I'm all over social media. So my Facebook page is just Livon Yao. And the website will be live within the next couple of weeks. So it's livelifebigger.com. So it's live without the E. And
okay.
The focus on my coaching very much is around confidence and career transition and lifestyle. So, and I really love working with people who really want to make a difference in the world. For me, social impact is a big thing. So as many kind of clients I can get in that space who are really interested in making their mark, those are the people I really, really loved working with.
Brilliant. Yeah. That's great. It's been wonderful speaking with you, Liv, and I look forward to hearing
Thank
from you,
Robert.
Again and having you back to hear about all of your amazing adventures.
I'm blessed, oh man. With my two hands in the air, as far as I can. Yeah.
Lift up my eyes to this, I'm blessed, oh man.